Now a reading from Psalms chapter 139, verses 7 to 13. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely, the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not to you, or even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In Psalms chapter 62, verses 5 through 8. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, for my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Our God rests my cleverance and my honor, my mighty rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see you. If you trust in God, just as the scriptures say, will you just help me just praise God one more time? Just one more time. It should feel good to praise God, especially a God that you trust in. Whenever you think about trusting in God, you should just break out in praise. I think at least I do. You can join me if you like. Good morning, church family, friends, neighbors. If you're joining us for the first time, a very, very special welcome to you. I'm so excited to have you here in worship. If you're returning, if you spend some time here all the time, I'm glad that you're comfortable here, that God is blessing your life and that he's anchoring your soul. I'm glad that all of you all came to worship today to have your soul anchored through scripture. I pray that as God continues to move throughout his word today, that he blesses you tremendously. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Emily. Amen. We are now in part two of our message series, Anchored. And this series, Anchored, takes us on a journey where we are invited by God and invited as a community to find stability and confidence in who God is and what God is. And then also how God is, how God shows up in our life, around our life, and calls us to do things like change or be something or do something differently than we ever have in our lives. Just as an anchor secures a ship by gripping itself to the seabed, keeping it steady no matter what winds or steady currents may come its way, we too are encouraged in our own faith to have our own anchors let down, to grip the seabed to something that is reliable, something that is secure, so that in our life of faith, as we too experience winds, rains, clouds, and currents, we will find that we are tethered to something that gives us total security and that allows us not to drift away from a place where we are meant to stay. As we step into this brand new year, I got to tell you, I've been filled with utter excitement. How about you? It's 2025. I'm super excited about it. I'm filled with anticipation about all the ways that I will see God move in my life and y'all's lives too. I'm excited about that. I'm excited also to see God's hand just moving throughout the months ahead, because I realize that each and every month, in fact, each and every day is a gift. And when we start the brand new year, as we enter into a brand new year, it's a moment for us to look at this year like a canvas, a blank canvas on which God invites us to write a story of how God is seeing us through growth, renewal, and transformation. Amen? Recently, I found myself reflecting on what the new year would mean to others around me. So I found myself asking my friends and my family and even a few strangers in Walmart and Target, because I'm that guy, right? Well, what are your hopes for the new year? What plans do you have for the new year? What are you looking forward to for the year ahead? And almost every time I received different answers that were just as diverse as the lives of the people that I had come in contact with. Some excited about upcoming events, Some excited about going on vacation. Some excited about raising little ones or grandchildren, children or children. People all with diverse excitements about what this new year will bring. Some excited about what the year will be as it relates to determination and sticking to building healthy habits or achieving some sort of personal goal. But there is one response that stood out to me above all the rest. And in fact, almost every person when I asked this question said this exact response after they gave me their laundry list of things that they're excited about, including their hopes for this new year. And it was a desire to become a better person. A desire to become a better person. That shared hope resonates deeply with me. And I don't know about you, but I hope it does with you as well. For me, it speaks to the longing, the deep longing, the universal longing that's in each and every one of us. If you look to your left or your right, if you talk to someone in the chat as you're online, you will find that someone else has that same longing. The longing to be different, to be better, to be stronger. But if I'm honest, because I'm an honest guy sometimes, no, all the time, I promise. I wouldn't have a job if I weren't honest. If I were honest, I would tell you, and as I've spoken with some of the people and have listened to some of their responses, I don't fully believe them. I don't really and fully believe their answer or their response at face value, and I can't take it at face value. That's just me. It's not because I think that their words are insincere or because I think that they are telling half-truths or just untruth tellers, but it's because I think something deeper of them. I sense that there's a deeper longing beneath them, within them, deep down in the deep wells of their heart to be something better. That there is an unspoken yearning that's brewing deep down in the hearts of every person that I've asked. And maybe it's you today as well. That they have a deep desire to truly know themselves and to connect with themselves. Have this greater sense to want to know God deeper and better and have a stronger relationship with God. But if you put all that together, I think people just want to be anchored. Amen. I think people just want to be anchored. It's the longing that we are to know that we're not drifting throughout life, that we're not aimlessly moving throughout life, but that our lives have stability. That our lives and our thoughts and clarity, that we will have stability in our thoughts and clarity in our decision making, that we have a firm foundation that we can walk on throughout the entire year, no matter what storm comes. The type of life where we are sure that that which we have clung on to at the seabed of our lives will place us and keep us exactly where we need to be. To tell you the truth, to do that and to feel that and to have that, to own it, I think that there is only one anchor in life that can truly give you that deep peace. A person that can only hold you and bring you and keep you where you're meant to be so that you can experience that everlasting stability. I think that peace can only be found in God, the Creator, as we're going to talk about today. The Creator of the universe, our God who spans all of time, space, humanity, and creation. Because God is our ultimate anchor and is the anchor of our souls, we cannot escape it. And so the one who offers us new life and brings us new life, today we are encouraged to find stability in the one who transcends circumstance. So as we continue this series today, I want to ask you, what are you anchoring yourself in this year? What are you anchoring yourself in this year? Or is there something reliable that you want to anchor yourself in? Is it a relationship with God? Is it something different? Or it's what is holding you strong enough to get you through winds when they blow and storms when they come. Maybe it's time for you to remember the anchor that is the Lord. Or maybe it's time for you to re-anchor yourself in God and trust in Him because He never fails. If you are feeling ready to pull yourself together or to release your anchor so that it grips something more secure, let me see you just wave your hands or just simply say amen. Know that you are not alone if that's you today, because in him we can fasten ourselves to something greater than we ever imagine. So the one who holds us together seeks to anchor us. And how do we do that? How is it that we anchor our well-being in the God of our well-being? And how do we grab hold to the right foundation in our lives? To be anchored to God, our creator, and to be strengthened in the one who gives us ultimate strength. In order to do that, I want to unpack three questions with you today. Is that okay? Amen. I love y'all. Number one, what credibility does God the Creator have? What credibility does God the Creator have? Number two, what does God the Creator seek from us? What does God the Creator seek from us? And number three, how do we know if we are truly anchored in the Creator? Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and the anchor that you are and what you anchor us to, which is yourself. Thank you for being the anchor and the source by which we grab onto to further give us stability. Continue to order our steps in your word this morning and lead us to the path of everlasting life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. What credibility does God have? What credibility does God the Creator have? Well, we know that first we have to ask this question, because if you are going to anchor yourself, if you are going to grab onto the seabed that is God, you've got to know that it has credibility, right? Or else you just grab onto sand, or you grab onto rocks, you grab onto seaweed, something that truly can't sustain you. So you got to ask the question, is what I'm grabbing onto credible? Is it reliable? Is it faithful? We're going to explore that. Other than scripture being the primary way that we know and get our credit from God being the creator and the ultimate anchor in life, there are a few other places that are not yet tangible or seen that we can rely on to get credibility as to who God is and the strength that God gives us in life. God's credibility outside of scripture is supported by a few things. Number one, I would say that it's supported by the testimony of creation. You can just simply hold out your hand and you will witness it before your very eyes. That's you. God's witness and testimony of creation, you, me, you can pinch yourself and feel creation. The fact that there is breath in your body, that's evidence and credibility to who God is, the creator of yourself, the creator of me. You can look outside and you can see, you can breathe into what God has created and called good. And if allowed for you to experience so that you can continue to see God's life and God's breath constantly unfolding and providing every day. The other thing you can look at is actually not seen. It's more in your mind. It's the universality of moral law and the human will to do good. Like the people that I ask when I ask them the question, well, what is it that you want to be or do or change for the new year? And they say, well, I just want to be a good person. I would imagine that you probably would have that same question. And we don't get that question just because we want to be good people. No, goodness, purity is rooted in something. It's God's moral law. It's God's holiness and righteousness. It is God's purity. And God's purity has a woo to it. It has an attraction to it that makes us want to be and exist just as God exists and is. It's attractive. It's already in us. And who we are only seeks to be more and more like the good that is God the Creator. It is also through philosophical reasoning. Where are my brainiacs in the house today? Raise your hand. Put some hearts in the chat. This is that empirical reasoning. And if it's not empirical, it's the philosophical reasoning that we do in our minds so that we can make more understanding of what is around us or what is in front of us. And we see evidence of God the Creator right in front of us. We also can see it through historical evidence. We can also see it through the human longing for meaning and beauty. Back to my friends, back to you. That we want to see a life that's more meaningful, that we want to see a life that's more beautiful. And to do that is realizing that there's an innate desire within each and every one of us for there to be a life that is better and better, a world that is better and better. And these elements combined along with scripture provide for us a robust understanding to trust in who the Bible tells us the Creator is. I want to take you on a journey to a church history class I took my second year of seminary. You want to do that? My church history professor had us read a book that's called Seeking the Face of God. And in this particular book, it gave an unfolding history, a chronicle of generations of people actually seeking the face of God, church fathers and philosophers and people who have come to faith through Israel and Judah, all dating back to the first humans, or have all been people who have existed on earth, have been generations that have lived on this earth, that have sought the face of God since there has ever been generations. And when there were no generations, we all have been seeking the face of God for a long time. This famous modern day theologian says this about God's makeup. He says, everything in the universe exists because it was caused. That means that it was brought into existence by something else. For example, parents cause children, factories cause cars, the sun causes light, and tectonic plate movements cause what? Good job. Come to seminary. God, however, listen to this. God, however, is fundamentally different. Very different. He has no cause and needs no cause. Unlike everything else, God exists by his very nature, not because of something external or something that caused him into being. He just is. This makes God the only existence that is necessary for being, which means in order for something to be, God is necessary for something else to be, to exist, to have breath, to have life, meaning that nothing could exist at all if it is not for God the Creator. Furthermore, only God is eternal, and God is without beginning, and God is without end. Everything else in existence has its starting and ending point with God, end quote. I love this statement because this is a distinction that draws its comparison between who we are and who God is, the infinite power that God has and the limited power that we have, which says that we are reliant on God. And by first recognizing that and seeing that God is credible enough, it should provoke a cause in us, a response in us, to dig ourselves in who God is so that we too could find better meaning, value, and purpose. That same God who caused everything to be, who gave breath in our bodies, caused deliverance to bound nations, gave salvation to a people, parted waters for people seeking to cross it to get to a place of safety. A God who offered a people a covenant of a brand new day so that we could live a brand new life. A God who fed people, a God who protected people, a God who gave us salvation and so much more. This God has credibility. And when we anchor ourselves in this God, God breathes a breath of new life into us. Like the modern day philosopher or theologian, I enjoy with what the psalmist says in Psalm 62, the scripture that was read for us today. He says this, for God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God, my deliverance rests, my honor, my mighty rock, my refuge. And then he says this to Ebenezer Church, trust in him always. I love this because he spends his time recalling himself back to the immense power of God when he's seeking to be anchored, recalling who God is, recalling God's credit so that we could be encouraged ourselves, so that he can be encouraged. And in the scripture, in the Psalms, it is very clear where what he is gripping onto, isn't it? It's clear that he is relying on God, the creator, his mighty rock and refuge, the one whose power we can only rely on, not our own. So what credibility does God have? All of it. We ourselves can be anchored in God. To know more about what this world is like and the unseen world. To know more about ourselves, even with all of our complexities. Amen. Number two, second question. What does the Creator seek from me? I think this is a beautiful question in view of the context of our sermon series, Anchored. Because the Creator seeks to give us love and show us love. The Creator seeks from us love also and trust and obedience. And he desires that we reflect his character and his character alone. That we reflect his character, that we care for others, that we care for his creation, and that we live in alignment with his purposes. Ultimately, he wants a deep and very personal relationship with each and every one of us. He wants our anchors gripped into who he is so that he can grip into who we are. So that we find true greatness of joy and fulfillment in life. I love, as we're moving to Psalm 34, what the psalmist goes on to say again as he says that God, I can't depart from your spirit. He brings up the idea of causation again. That God causes for me to be known. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle in the far east limits of the sea, you are there also, and your right hand shall hold me fast. That's a lot of God. That's a lot of God. I want to take a moment and pause here and have a teachable moment that is about the Psalms, not palms, that's in Florida. About the Psalms, that will help your biblical literacy. The book of Psalms is not a book that is a standalone book, although it is very poetic and beautiful. The Psalms were written over the span of more than five centuries, from the 10th century BCE to the post-exilic period, which starts after 587 BCE. Go look up that timeline later. This time, five centuries or more, is marked by significant political, religious, and social turmoil and developments. In it, we see that it encompassed all of the major events that is within the New Testament, including the reign of David, the building of the temple, Solomon's leadership, the periods of war and exile, the division of the nation of Judah and Israel, the Assyrian conquest, the destruction of the temple again, the list goes on. You can study a lot about that history throughout the New Testament. But I say that to give you context to say that the book of Psalms was written not as a standalone book or through somebody's encouragement or for someone to offer it as a supplication. But these Psalms were written out of very dark moments throughout scripture, and you can find its history reading along with 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. There are about four more. That the Psalms are meant to be read alongside all of those books. They're not standalone books. That over five centuries, the destruction of the temple, the war that David experienced, the chaos, the drift, the instability in the world that existed at the time, that's what the Psalms were written out of. It was written from people's cries, from David's cries, from the cries of David's leadership, from his hard moments in leadership, from his successes to his joys to his failures, it all, to Solomon at his wisest and at his dumbest. It is the cries of the hearts of people who desire to know who God is, people who sunk their anchors in who God was. And instead of complaining through the Psalms about their circumstances, like, God, this is too hard, take it away, they gave praise in who God was. Say, God, you are my refuge and my protector. You are my rock, my mighty fortress. No complaint. They sunk themselves into who God was as creator of the universe. and then birth these beautiful psalms that we have. That's what we get. So I'm going to unpin here. What is it that the Creator wants from us? Well, we know that the Creator has credibility, but what does the Creator want from us? I want to give you these three quick things in this bullet: to know us, to search us, and to test us. Book ended from Psalms 1 all the way to the end of Psalms. You get the message more than 100 times and in some Psalms 200 times, where the person who is writing the psalm is calling for God to know me, to search me, and to test me. And for me, I think that this is the perfect formula for a person, for a Christian, for a person of faith who is seeking to be deeply rooted, who is seeking to be anchored in God the Creator. It is the perfect formula. So as we go into our lives, if you truly want to be anchored, I think this is it. I think the Creator wants to know you more and more by invitation, to search you more and more by invitation, and to test you more by invitation. God knowing us emphasizes that God knows us completely. Insecurities, shames, our shame, secrets, our thoughts, actions, it all before we can even speak a word. God searching us is about being vulnerable to God, but then also making vulnerable requests. Don't forget that. But it is also a call to spiritual examination, asking God to uncover in each and every one of our lives hidden motives, sins, or area of our lives that need deep transformation that you've never called God to. Search us. And then test us. This is the part that makes my hands clammy, because I have some trauma from this in college. That God testing us is not about pass-fail. That it's not about right or wrong. You want to know what it's about? It's about the willingness to be refined. Like my friends who desired to be better people and the strangers who desired to be better people. It is not only then until you recognize the strength of who God is and you are able to anchor yourself, grabbing a foundation that is credible and reliable, asking for God to know you, search you, test you. So to test you, to be refined, to be matured in your faith so that like last year in 2024, you're not the same. And if we are the same, then it means that we are less anchored than we were last year. Know me. Say that with me. Know me. Search me. Test me. That's the formula to being anchored. God, know me. Search me. Test me. Lastly, and I'm getting off the stage. How do we know if we are truly anchored in the Creator? Well, you know that the Creator has more than one identity in himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's where the good news comes in. If we want full and deep assurance that we are anchored in the Creator, we do that by who Christ is. And Christ says this in John 4:6. You might even know it. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to this. No one comes to the Father, the Creator, except through me. We grip at the foundation of our lives, the person of Christ, so that Christ can help us to do the work of the Father, knowing us, searching us, and testing us for maturity and faith, for true growth, for deep growth, real growth, for true anchoring. You want to be anchored? Open up. Let Christ come in. Follow Christ, who is the way, and watch the foundations of your life change. It is God who is the Creator, who is the Redeemer, and is the Sustainer. God will create new things in your life, redeem new things in your life, the thing that you need deeply redeemed. And God's grace is sufficient enough, he will sustain you meanwhile. That's a lot of God, isn't it? It's a bunch of God. I'm done. But I want to share with you that if you want to know if you're anchored, begin to ask yourself these questions. Do I prioritize my relationship with God above all else? Is my faith steady or does it waver based on circumstance? Am I becoming more like Christ in my character, but then also in my actions? Watch that character part. Do I feel deep peace and purpose that comes from God, or do I feel uncertainty? As you reflect on those questions, go back and watch this sermon. I want to give you two practices, spiritual practices to practice this week. Reflection and confession. Begin each day with the prayer of transparency, not just prayer, a prayer of transparency of self, so that God could do the knowing, the searching, and the testing. And then lastly, reflect on your gifts and your passions. You know, the one that God gave you. And ask God, God, how is it that you would like for me to serve you and others as you continue your anchoring work in my life? The word of God for the people of God.